The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with John Couch. John on the other side of the glass. And if you were on this side of the glass, it wouldn't make any difference. We would both be welcoming you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, the 7th of January, 2020. We're broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We're on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk 24/7. We've got you covered at buckmastershow.com with our podcasts. So much to talk about today on the program. We're going to get right into it with Terry Bracey. We're so delighted and honored to have Terry as one of our two dozen expert contributors. Terry is our Washington and governmental affairs contributor, and he's enjoyed a very long and distinguished career. Beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall, Terry went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's senior partner in the respected governmental affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano. They have some clients that are very familiar to those of us here in Tucson, including the city of Tucson and Pima Community College. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm fine. I'm very disturbed about what's going on.
Yep.
In the Capitol. We're great. Thank you for asking.
So much going on. Let's begin with what is transpiring, and almost like we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Isn't that the case, Terry, in Iran?
Yeah, it certainly is, Bill. I'm very conflicted about this whole thing. You know, as an American, like you, I always want to support our leadership when we're going to war, as I believe we are now.
Mm.
But, you know, we're from the Vietnam generation, and then we had the experience of invading Iraq because of weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist. So the problem I have is the information, number one, is the information we're getting from the administration true. Bill, this is a White House, unfortunately, known for being a little loose with the truth.
And there are other problems, correct, Terry?
Oh, there are. I think we greatly underestimated the reaction mm-hmm. to the assassination of General Soleimani. And I think it's important for people in our country to understand the reaction there is much like the reaction we had to the Kennedy assassination or the 9/11. It was seen as an act of war. I'm really not sure, Bill, that the American people are ready to go for another war.
Terry, in one of your recent columns in the Arizona Daily Star, you talked about the ways Americans might bring about greater unity. And one of your suggestions was to bring back the mandatory draft. Surely that would not be a popular move, Terry.
And, Bill, that's really the point. When Congress suspended the draft in 1973 and turned our national security over to a volunteer professional force, in retrospect, we made wars much easier to get into. As President Carter said the other day, we've been in nonstop wars. And here now, surprised by the reaction to the killing of Soleimani, the president has quickly announced sending 3,500 more troops to add on to the 14,000 already there. He neither asked nor informed anyone, showing how easy it is for him under this system to just go to war.
How would the draft change all of that, Terry Bracey?
Well, it'd make it a lot harder when the public's involved. And that's really the reason, don't you think, Bill, there was so much opposition to Vietnam?
I do.
I think it was the idea that all the young men, including us, between 18 and 25, were subject to the draft. And it makes it a lot harder to go to war when it's going to be our son or our daughter.
Terry, before we get into impeachment, Matt has called us, and he's been patiently waiting. Let's let Matt jump in and... he's got a question or comment for Terry Bracey. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, you know, first of all, I wrote a whole article on this that even, got published on the question of the declaration of war and the failure of Congress over these many years, going back to post-World War II, to do that and abdicating its responsibility. But I believe that we should have a mandatory draft. It should be that 20% of all armed forces of the United States should at least come from draft personnel. And that draft needs to be, unlike the draft during the Vietnam era, needs to include everybody. And I mean, if you're the son of a billionaire or you're the son of a Walmart clerk, you need, or daughter, you need to serve in a drafted current. 20% of the armed forces should be mandatorily draft personnel, whether they be Army whether they be in the reserve component, National Guard, or the active duty. But you can't let them get out of the active duty, too. The only good thing now is the active duty can't go to war without the reserves and the National Guard. They have crossed that line where it's pretty much impossible, and that's why reservists have been – I mean, I've been deployed 3 times so far.
Okay.
And I'm no longer in the military, but, I mean, that's the reality. So I agree with you, and I would encourage you to keep pushing that.
All right. Thank you, Matt. So what do you think of Matt's idea? No opt-outs, basically, Terry.
I think I think it's a good idea. I really do. That's kind of separated the rich from the poor or the wealthy from the less wealthy in the Vietnam experience. And anyway, yeah, I think Matt's got his hands on a good idea. He's clearly thought this issue through.
All right, let's turn to impeachment. What's going on with Speaker Pelosi and her refusal so far to send the bills of impeachment to the Senate?
Well, I think, first of all, I have to say that Speaker Pelosi is one of the probably smartest political strategists I've ever known. You know, by delaying, she's deflated the position of Mitch McConnell, which tends to be very absolute over there. And she put him on notice that the country will now be judging just how fair the Senate trial is going to be. And the delay has given her another prize that she wanted, which was a pledge from John Bolton and perhaps other key witnesses that they will testify if subpoenaed. Now, Mitch McConnell doesn't want that, and I'm not even sure that Bolton's testimony would be helpful to the prosecution, but at least we ought to have it.
So presumably these witnesses, Terry Bracey, would be directly involved with the president in the Ukraine scandal.
Yeah, absolutely. They were day-to-day. They were there. They know exactly what happened because they were part of it. Meanwhile, we've been prevented from talking to these people. So that would be a good – so she would win that one too. But she can't hang on to this thing forever. And I think she's going to let things go pretty soon.
Terry, I want to get back to that recent column that you had in the Arizona Daily Star, and we were talking about the draft and what's going on in the Middle East. In that column, you were talking about the gigantic cost of these wars.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Bill, it is really a problem. I mean, we have people talking about cutting Medicare and cutting Social Security and doing all these things when they haven't first taken a look at how much these wars are costing us. Basically, we've got a terrible problem. These wars in the Middle East have cost an estimated $3 trillion. And those trillions have gone to build roads, bridges, schools, airports, and everything else in Iraq.
Yeah.
Now, just think about what that money would have done to Tucson.
What about
Detroit, so the Louis or L.A.?
Yeah, the infrastructure in this country is crumbling.
Exactly. So think of what we might have done to, you know, re-educate a workforce that's leaving the auto industry. For example, there's so much we could have done, as you say, building our own stuff that badly needed. And so the real price of war is not just what we spend to try to defeat an opponent, but what we fail to spend in America.
That's right. Terry Bracy, good thoughts. We can look up your, just Google Terry Bracy, Arizona Daily Star, and your columns, all of the recent ones will come up, and it's a good read. Terry, it's always a pleasure. Hope the new year's off to a great start for you. We very much appreciate what you have done with us as our program now, Terry, enters year number 10. We've got 9 full years. That concluded last week. We're into year 10.
Well, you've done an amazing thing. You've created kind of a civic forum there in Tucson. You play it right down the middle. It's fair, and I think that's why everybody likes to go on.
Thank you so much, Terry. Have a great afternoon. Terry Bracy with us, our contributor in Washington. My favorite bakery in town is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Heard from owner and chief baker Steve today. Steve sent me an email. Wanted to thank all of the Buckmaster Show listeners for a great holiday season, and he would like to remind everybody they open at 6:30 each day. They're open for breakfast. They'll do the hot breakfast for you. In fact, of course, they'll do lunch right now, but you could also have breakfast if you want it at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery. MonasDanishBakery.com, and of course, there's a link at BuckmasterShow.com. Not only a link to all of our partners, but there's all of the bio information of all of our contributors, including Terry Bracy and Shelley Fishman, our financial consultant and commentator, who is up next. Shell, do you want to give me a thumb going back and forth a little bit? Kind of a flat day on the market. A little bit up, a little bit down, right?
Right.
All right. We'll be right back with Shelley. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com. Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, our own financial commentator. And Shelley, this is the first live show with you in 3 weeks because it's Christmas. Fell on a Tuesday, and Christmas Eve was a Tuesday, right. So we had a previously aired segment, and then New Year's Eve, we also took the day off, so let me wish you...
So when did this New Year happen?
Let me wish you a Happy New Year, Shelley. This is the kind of thing, the first show of the New Year, the kind of show where we reflect and look forward. Let's do some forecasts today.
So... when we take a look at economic forecasts and we take a look at market forecasts, the caveat that I always have to, you know, kind of play my recorded announcement is that the market is not the economy and the economy is not the market. So let's make sure that everybody keeps in mind that those are two very different things. Now, clearly the markets will reflect in an anticipatory way what investors believe is going to happen in the markets, because theoretically, what happens in the markets is the results of the economy showing up as earnings in American industry, in American companies. So they are intermingled, but most people who think about forecasting try to keep those two concepts separate. The markets, both bond markets and equity markets, and then very differently, what's happening in the economy, and can those things diverge or converge depending upon what's actually happening with people's sentiment and consumer behavior and that kind of thing.
But not truly a reflection of the economy.
Right. We think that the stock market and bond markets reflect a leading indicator.
Right.
In other words, what happens there is going to happen or is anticipated to happen in the economy later on. But when you ask the question, well, how much later on, you get a bunch of bumbling answers. And there's so many things that can come into play, including what the Fed does and, you know, the known unknowns and unknown unknowns and all of that garbage. Anyway, so the first thing we have to look at is forecasts for gross domestic product growth. What we see in 2019 is incomplete so far. We don't have figures for the fourth quarter, and figures for the third quarter are continuing to be revised. As of this morning, the second quarter number was 2.0%, and the third quarter number was 2.1%. Now, if we see a fourth quarter that comes in at around 2%, or even a little bit better than that, that's a very good indicator, I think, that 2020 will continue to be around a 2% year. If, on the other hand, we see a fourth quarter for 2019 that comes in at around 1.3 or 1.4, then that downward slope will continue, I believe, into 2020, and we'll see 1% first quarter, and then perhaps even a negative in the second quarter.
Fourth quarter will come out the end of this month.
The fourth quarter, the first sentiments will come out maybe even next week.
Oh, okay.
But what happens is you don't really get a firm number until almost 3 months in. So we won't know for sure what the number was until the end of March.
Market growth. It was a little scary. Market growth was terrific, wasn't it?
Market growth absolutely made me the worst forecaster in the galaxy.
what was your prediction?
Yeah, my prediction was around 10%, 10 to 12%.
Double it.
And it's more than double it. The growth in equities came in at just north of 30% for the year.
Wow.
And the growth in bonds, which includes, you have to include dividends when you take a look at that, was almost 20%. So those two things happening in parallel, happening where those lines don't diverge, but actually both are going in the same direction, is not supposed to happen. And one of the things that we're finding out is that what we thought were intractable laws of physics turn out not to be so intractable. So 2019 was a good year, pretty much, as we say in Brooklyn, irregardless of what you were invested in, so long as you were invested.
Are we at full employment now,
we
Shelley?
Are. Okay. We're at full employment, and that's a problem. It's a problem because it should have an inflationary pressure. That should put inflationary pressure on wages and therefore the cost of goods. We're not seeing that. Again, physics is being thrown to the wind here. So at full employment, we're still seeing at the very low end of the wage scale, we're seeing in cities where and in states where they have implemented minimum wage laws, those wages have increased nicely. So we're actually seeing 3.5%, 4% wage increases there. But throughout the rest of the, except at the very top, of course, throughout the rest of the wage
spectrum.
The range, the spectrum, yes, better word, thank you. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that wage increases are at just about where inflation is, or between 2 and 2.5%, which means that even though people are doing well and they continue to be employed and can get new jobs and you know pretty much on demand, their wages are not running ahead of inflation, and that continues to have a psychological effect on spending and a psychological effect, especially in states where there has been, you know, problems with, you know, the manufacturing sector.
And it contributes to the shrinking middle class.
It does. And that is potentially a huge problem. We have large wage disparities, of course, but the middle class hasn't seen a real wage increase in you know, 30 years. And that is playing out in the politics, it's playing out in all of the things that we heard Terry saying before, because people just don't feel necessarily that despite all of this good news, and there's a whole bunch of good news in the economy, despite all of that, that they feel like they're participating fully in it. And they feel like this generation could be the first generation whose children are not doing as well as they did. And that's a problem in the economy.
Hey, Shelley, I thought bonds and stocks were supposed to go different directions. That didn't happen this year, or last year.
It didn't happen last year. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at the 10 years from 2000 till the end of 2008, beginning of 2009, bonds were on a tear. Bonds did very, very well. At the same time, the market wasn't doing too bad. Now, at the end of that decade, bonds wound up having done very well, and stocks were flat. But the reason stocks were flat was because of the Great Recession. So what we're seeing, Bill, and this is hard to really justify, is that some of the rules or some of the things that economists and people who follow markets like I do have always believed to be intractable laws have been bent and are continuing to be bent. So the question we have to ask is, what is the new normal? Is there a new normal? Are we really kind of violating these, what I jokingly call, laws of physics?
Well, the physics has not been put on permanent hold, has it?
No, we, you know, if you believe that there are very good reasons why physics work, why math works,
sure.
why gravity works. Then the things that have worked in our economy in capitalist economies for the past 100 years should continue to prevail. And yet the past decade or two has shown that for whatever reason, those things are not working as we expected them to work. Now, I believe one of the biggest reasons for that is that we have lost the middle class, that in fact, 70-75% of our economy is consumer-driven, and what we have done is we have taken all of the growth in GDP in the economy, and we have plastered it at the top, let's call it 10% of wage earners in the country, who don't necessarily spend it because they don't need to, they invest it. At the same time as manufacturing and other consumer-driven indices stay flat or go down, then companies are loath to invest in new plant and new manufacturing facilities and equipment.
One.
And that is throwing physics to the wind.
And one word you have not mentioned during your report today is recession.
Well, it's kind of in that GDP number. If we get a bad first quarter of 2020 and a bad second quarter, then we will be in recession and will not have known it until sometime in the summer. And so that's right in the middle of the election. And, of course, the election is a huge wild card.
All right, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, your meds segment with Ray Woosley is next. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Moa Mosgallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday afternoon in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, my goodness, what a beautiful destination. 13 acres, now home to Zocalo. Zocalo has that great merchandise, much of it hand-carved from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come visit the five shops at Zocalo Village, greenthingsaz.com, 3384 East River Road, and zocalovillage.com. Time for our monthly segment on the Buckmaster Show, focusing on your medication, how to take control of your health care. It's our Your Med segment featuring Dr. Ray Woosley, the former University of Arizona College of Medicine dean and founder and now president emeritus of the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute. Dr. Woosley's a very busy man. He's also co-director of the Clinical Data Analytics and Decision Support Unit at the University of Arizona College of Medicine in Phoenix. Dr. Woosley's latest creation is Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from 180 countries. Visit crediblemeds.org today. Dr. Woosley, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thank you.
Everybody seems to have what's going around. It's almost an epidemic, isn't it?
It is. And it's forecast to become one of the worst flu seasons.
So get the flu shot, not too late, right?
Not too late, absolutely. Do so.
This New York Times article, A Hidden Drug Epidemic Among Older People, I was shocked to learn how many Americans are taking prescription drugs every day.
Yeah, we talk about the opioid epidemic, and it's finally hitting the news that 30-some thousand people die each year from opioids. But we forget that going back 20 years now, we've known that about 100,000 people every year, three times as many, are dying just from normal prescriptions, not medicines of abuse that they're taking, but the prescriptions that are written to help people are causing a lot of lives. And it's not getting better. And unlike the opioid epidemic, which focuses on the young people, it's the elderly that are taking most of these medicines. And the numbers are stark and really scary, because how can we fix this? We've been working, and I have to confess, EZCERT, Arizona CERT, Center for Education and Research on Therapeutics that I've been leading, has worked on this for 20 years, and we haven't found ways to really fix the problem.
One of every three Americans take more than five prescriptions each day.
Every day.
But when you get into folks who are a little bit older, the age 65 to 69, I can't believe that number, Dr. Woosley.
Yeah.
15?
15 prescriptions are written each year. And about, if you're 80 to 84, 18 prescriptions a year. And 44% of men and 57% of women take five or more prescription medicines every day. And that's not counting the over-the-counter medicines that they might take, which are frequently taken, and the dietary supplements, which we don't think of as drugs, but they are. And the hormones aren't counted in there that many of the men and women are taking today.
So you could have somebody over 80 taking 18 prescriptions each year, then in that someone in their late 60s
15 prescription drugs each year, and then what if they're taking 10 to 20 supplements a day?
Yeah, I mean, it's just chaos. And we, some of our collaborations with the medical community, we get access to data on how many prescriptions are being taken. And there's the tip of an iceberg. There's 5 or 6% that are taking 20 a day.
What?
Yes. And the if you're taking...
How would you even know when you're supposed to take these
medicines? That's what I've often said. How could they take them? They must just be taking pills regularly. But you've seen the pictures on TV of the pill bottles and the dispensers for each day. There are dispensers for three times a day so that you can keep them all separate. And people with complex diseases, medicine, you know, like renal failure, HIV, other serious medical conditions, people who've had organ transplantation, they need most of these medicines. But for the most part, about, and there are no good estimates on this, but at least 20%, in my estimation, of those medicines aren't necessary. They're being prescribed often to cancel the side effects of another medicine. So you take a medicine, you have a side effect, and instead of getting that medicine stopped, you get a medicine to cancel the side effect.
A lot of emergency room visits because of all of this.
Yeah, that's the price. I mean, it's the human price, but it's also, you know, the fact that there are 119,000 deaths each year. There's a million visits to emergency rooms attributed to medication reactions, and over 280,000 hospitalizations caused by the medicines that we take that are supposed to be helping.
How's your guide for safe medication use at Credible Meds? That's pretty easy to use, right?
It is, and it based on the principle, well, if you really want to know if the medicines could cause harm, you need to know what they are, and you need to be able to share that list of medicines and dietary supplements and hormones. It's got to be accurate, and then it's got to be shared with your pharmacist, and it's got to be shared with your doctor. And most doctors' offices today have designated somebody to ask you about all the medicines you take, and you go over those with that person. Be sure you go over that list with the doctor, too, because the doctor, he or she, can be the one who can say, oh, I didn't know you were still taking that.
Right.
We should have stopped that a long time ago.
And write it down. Don't try to remember what you're taking, right?
Definitely. Yeah, you got to have that list. It's too. And if making a list is too much, what we recommend is what's called the brown bag approach. Put all your pill bottles in a brown bag and take them to your doctor's office and go over them. And I'll never forget sitting down and seeing that list of pill bottles and saying, oh my gosh, this one is the same as that one, and you're taking both? You know, one's the generic brand, or the generic, and the other is the brand.
And some of these prescriptions were written up years ago, and they've just gotten into the system and they're recycled.
Exactly. And there are major programs paid for by drug companies to call you up and say, oh, you haven't refilled your prescription. But there's nobody paid to call up and say, hey, you should stop taking that one.
Is there a cost to use Credible Meds, Dr. Woosley?
No, it's entirely free. It was created by federal grants. It was funded by federal grants for almost 20 years. And it's now maintained by grants from the Warden Foundation, for example, here in Tucson. It's funded by grants from the Flynn Foundation through the U of A. And it's paid for by donations. We get a lot of philanthropy all over the holiday. I got contributions to our PayPal process for Credible Meds, $100, $200, one $300 gift.
Wow.
We got one foundation sent us a $20,000 check.
What?
Yes. So
at Christmas?
At Christmas time.
Whoa.
Indeed.
Santa arrived at Credible Meds.
The Scholl Foundation, Dr. Scholl Foundation.
Yeah, Dr. Scholl, the foot people.
Right.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of people who care about safe medicine use, and they're our benefactors and our supporters.
All right, and it's Credible Meds, and it's .org.
.org. We're a nonprofit.
And if you just put in Credible or Meds on Google, it probably will get you there, too.
Exactly.
Yep.
Just
And getting back to this really epidemic that's going around, it seems like everybody's had this cold and flu, and in some cases pneumonia. Get a flu shot.
Get get a flu shot.
And if you can, the pneumonia shot.
Exactly. If you're over, I think it's age 60.
Yes.
It's recommended that you have the pneumococcal vaccine for pneumococcal pneumonia. And that can keep you out of the hospital. And, you know, most people who get pneumonia do so because they had the flu.
Right.
The flu knocks down our immune system, and just getting over that is a stress, and you end up with pneumonia. The flu vaccine can help. The pneumococcal vaccine can help.
All right, Dr. Woosley, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. We'll be right back. We're going to talk space. Mark Sykes in the building. 2020 is going to be the year of the Mars missions. There's at least four in the works. We'll talk with Mark about that right after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort, all on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour drive from Tucson to a beautiful area of the Southwest New Mexico, southwestnewmexico.org, for the complete list of many nice places to stay and all sorts of ideas about, as they say, how to recreate in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Dr. Mark Sykes with us in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Mark is the CEO and the president of the Planetary Science Institute. More than 40 years, this Tucson-based nonprofit has been engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Mark's the former chair of the NASA
Small Bodies Assessment Group. He's very much involved in the development of commercial human space flights. He's had an amazing career. This guy, I'm going to give you the full treatment. It's the your first visit of the new year. Mark has discovered comet dust trails. He's identified banks of interplanetary dust arising from asteroid collisions. And he actually determined the temperature of Pluto. And I would take a guess that it's pretty cold.
It's cold, yes.
like
years ago, yes.
How cold?
Oh, well, at that time I was...
Below zero type.
Well, I was measuring 55 degrees above absolute zero, but now we got... New Horizons flying by, we have much more accurate determinations and such. Mine was based with, stone knives and bear skins.
Were you in the ballpark?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cold is cold.
Yes, there you go. 2020, everybody's talking about these Mars missions. Anything exciting?
Oh, they're all exciting. We've got four nations that are planning to send missions to Mars. There's the U.S. Mars 2020 mission, which will be going to a crater that has a delta in it because there used to be a lake there. So that's a potential place to look for past life.
Is the dock still available for the lake?
Well, I think it's. I think it's above the water.
Yeah, okay.
So it's kind of hanging out there.
Okay. But there was a lake at one time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's been a lot of. There was an ocean on Mars in the past.
Whoa.
And there was a period of time when it used to rain and all that good stuff back there. So Mars was certainly a more nicer environment on the surface. For life in the past, and there might be life today underneath the surface, so away from like the ultraviolet radiation that's hitting it.
So, is it the Hayabusa 2 mission
that's coming back? So we've got these four missions. Where there's also the ExoMars thing, which is European Space Agency in Russia. There's the Qatar. It's the United Arab Emirates are sending an orbiter there, and China is sending an orbiter and a lander there. So their first attempt to do this. Then Hayabusa 2, who was around the small near-Earth asteroid and picking samples from various locations, including blowing up a crater on the surface of it and then going into the crater and grabbing a fresh sample from beneath the surface.
Have enough gunpowder to do that job?
It was, my gosh.
Whoa.
You know, what more would you want to do? Yeah, it was a great, they really stretched things. You know, they took some risks and they... I think the payoff is going to be huge, and they are going to be bringing their samples from that asteroid back to Earth at the end of this year, around in December, and then around that time, then the OSIRIS-REx mission, which is the U.S. Sample return mission, will be taking their samples on Bennu. And of course Bennu, to an extent, the Hayabusa 2 target is covered with all these rocks, you know, millions and millions of rocks. And so they were expecting to find a nice flat surface for the sandy.
Right,
they
right.
go and easily grab. Oh, no, it wasn't that way at all. And so the public helped out in identifying sites.
Whenever I have Mark on the show, a question comes to mind. And sometimes I think, well, am I going to sound stupid asking this? But have we brought samples from Mars back to Earth before?
We have not brought samples back from Mars to Earth before. However, we do have samples from Mars on Earth because there are meteorites that came from the Nauclides, the Shugatites, that came from Mars. And we know they came from Mars because there's like holes in them that they're filled with gases that are the same as the Martian atmosphere, and plus there's other properties of the minerals.
They're not stamped that say made in
Mars. No, not yet.
So this Hayabusa 2 would return samples to Earth?
From a near-Earth asteroid.
From a near, okay.
So a small near-Earth asteroid, Ryugu is its name. And so it's in an orbit very similar to the Earth's, you know, so low amount of energy it takes to get back and forth.
So these collection of samples would be new. This would be something new.
Oh, yeah. Asteroids are characterized by how different they are from each other.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like no two asteroids are the same. And so the Japanese brought back an Hayabusa 1 mission, a sample from a bright or rocky asteroid named, Itokawa.
Rocky 2 or something.
No, Itokawa. And now they're going to a dark asteroid, more carbonaceous, uh-huh. and it's going to tell us very different things. So, of course, by getting more samples from the near-Earth objects, then we can also ask the question, you know, what do we need to do to identify the ones that are resource targets? And how might we extract the resources from these objects? You know, once we do the mission that's now called, that was NEOCAM, now it's called NEOSurveyor, and being run out of U of A now that Damian Meinzer has moved from JPL over to U of A. And that will hopefully open up a door to a broader future of human exploration and economic expansion, because we'll have easily accessible resources to make use of.
For those children of the 60s, 2020 has a ring that, my goodness, we should be on Mars by now.
Yeah, well, did 2000.
Yeah.
Those of us from the 60s,
yeah.
You know, back in 69, you know, when we were landing on the moon,
yeah.
If somebody had said, where do you think we'll be in the year 2000?
Yeah.
We would have thought, well, there'd be colonies on the moon and Mars, and we'd be on our way to the stars.
Were there mission plans back in the 60s to go to Mars after Apollo?
There were some kind of plans,
hypothetical.
But there was actually no program or anything that was being stood up to do that or to continue going to the moon or to build space stations or whatever.
Instead, we went the direction of the space shuttle.
Right, and that was because. And I've had this confirmed by a space historian at the Smithsonian, was that it was presented to, you know, with the cost of Vietnam War and all that,
right.
That kind of stuff. Apollo was shutting down, and people were getting bored because of the same thing over and over,
sure.
Again with no, like, direction. And and so he was sold on the shuttle program for two things. One is that it costs about $10,000 a pound to send something up to orbit. With the shuttle, to go down to $400 a pound. And with that bay door, we could capture foreign satellites.
Ooh.
And it turned out that none of it was true, but it did give us the shuttle and continuing access to space, and then building up the space station and expanding international cooperation. So there was good stuff that came out of it.
You had a great trip to Scotland.
I did.
Were you
three
there?
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah,
whoa.
I've never taken such a long vacation.
Oh, and you have. Bloodlines that go back there.
Yeah, my mother's a MacLean of Dort, and so we have some distant family over there, and we like to go back and visit the castle, and we help support its restoration, and we visit lots of archaeological sites, and at this last trip I was actually talking at schools in the Outer Hebrides.
Yeah. So. And what about your excess baggage charge for all those bottles of scotch?
Well, we won't talk about
that. Oh, boy. All right. A good year for the Planetary Science Institute 2019.
Yes. Yes. I mean, we continue to grow. And, you know, we're planning on taking on new challenges this year and some yet larger programs to manage and so I can't help but feel optimistic of after 15 years of just relentless growth.
psi.edu for more information and become a member like I'm a member. They do great work. Thanks, Mark. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Bill. Happy New Year.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Dr. Mark Sykes, John Couch, on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll talk travel tomorrow with Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. He'll have some good ideas of where to venture. I don't think the Mars trip is ready yet, but he'll have some other ideas for us in 2020. Have a great afternoon.